Welcome to the Christian View Podcast. My name is Angela Roberts-Jones, and I am excited that you have tuned in. My hope is that you will be enlightened and encouraged by this view. Let's have a talk. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Christian View Podcast. We are so excited to bring a topic to you that I know that many people are concerned about and talking about, and that we feel that you need to hear: understanding money and wealth. So I'm excited to have with us also our special guest, Minister Marquez Hughley. Hello, Minister Marquez. How are you?
I'm excellent, ma'am. Thank you, Pastor Angela, for having me on. I'm excited to be with this podcast and to share about wealth and money. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, yes. Awesome. And you have a wealth of knowledge and a lot of experience, too, in this area. Can you just tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself before we dive into this topic?
Yes. I am an Army veteran. Spent about 6 years in the Army, one wartime deployment to Iraq. Before getting out of the military, I then went back to school, got a degree in finance. I also have a degree in theology as well. So I have two bachelors, and I'm also an author. Of course, I do public speaking. I'm a leadership consultant, and I'm proud to be a Morehouse College alumnus. And I founded two businesses. One is Crown Life Enterprises, which is my leadership consulting and coaching business. And Jigari, which is my brand that started with products, but now we also have a magazine called Jigari Lifestyle Magazine.
Yes, fantastic. And we are so proud of you. And I just want to let everyone know also that Minister Marquez was stationed here at Fort Campbell years ago. He was a young soldier when we met him, and he became a part of our Green Hill family. And since that time, he was about 19. Is that right? About 19
yes.
years old?
Yes, I had just turned 19 when I connected with the church, gave my life to the Lord there. So, yes.
Yes. So he has a wealth of knowledge on actually this topic today and how God has blessed him to achieve and to prosper and get to this point, come to this point in his life. But again, our topic today, understanding money and wealth. God does want you to prosper. God wants us to prosper. Many people have this question in their mind: is it wrong to want to make money and do well? Or does God frown on that? Or does the Bible even talk about it? Or should we be concerned about prosperity? Yes, the Bible speaks a lot about money. Many scriptures address money and wealth. And sometimes, I guess, as Christians and the church, we may not incorporate it maybe in a way that people understand, or many people feel like they have to categorize their life, compartmentalize their life. You know, they have a sacred life. You know, I'm in church. Then I have a secular life, you know, like the business, the work, the career, and there are other entrepreneurial things, ventures. So they categorize those and compartmentalize those places in their life. But we are learning more and more and more in this day and time on how to incorporate it, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yes.
I definitely agree. I mean, it's now the best time for us to launch out in this regard. And that's why this particular podcast is going to be so important for the listeners. So that's why we kind of set the tone now for you, just to open your mind, the things that you may have thought about money and wealth, to put away those preconceived notions. We're going to debunk a lot of things that you may have thought were true, but we're going to mm-hmm. bring you the truth according to God's perspective, according to the King's way of doing things. And that's why I'm excited to partner with Pastor Angela to do this today. And so we're just ready to move this thing forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the Bible does speak very positively about money, but there are other scriptures that warn us against, I guess, focusing on money. And I won't get too in depth on that portion, but I do want to bring to our attention that the Bible does warn us about its dangers. So when money becomes the most important thing in our lives, then it becomes a danger to us. Greed takes over. And before long, we don't care who we hurt or what rules we bend as we pursue money. And that money and things become more important to us than people and more important even than God. That's when money becomes dangerous. So Jesus warned in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money, or God and mammon, as some versions may say. And also the Apostle Paul says to the young pastor, Timothy, young man that he mentored for ministry, he says to him, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So let us come back to the point that are in these particular scriptures is not so much that money is evil. It's the love of money. When money becomes the idol, when money becomes the idol, and we forget that we are children of God and we're citizens of heaven. You know, we're governed in another realm by another system. But God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And God gives us money and wealth. So knowing what to do with it is something we'd like to address in this podcast. So looking at Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, we'll start off with this you know, in this episode. And we're looking at the Good News translation. So money can be a good thing, and it's a gift from God. And in this particular chapter, or let's say this particular book, the book of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land. And as they were preparing to go to the land that God promised to their ancestors, Moses gave instructions. And as we know, Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, and that children of Israel, when they were told by God back even in Exodus, they were instructed to go into the promised land. They murmured and complained, and they had no faith in God. So they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay. But that was not God's intention. It's not God's intention for us to be in the wilderness.
Right.
Okay. In the desert with nothing. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes. So as we look at this scripture, Minister Marquez and I, you know, to our listening audience, we want to ask you to just follow closely, and then we'll give you a few other tips and wisdom nuggets beyond this scripture. So verse 1 from the Good News translation says, obey faithfully all the laws that I have given you today so that you may live, increase in number, and occupy the land that the Lord promised to your ancestors. So first of all, just looking at this, God promised land. And in today's culture, land is wealth. Real estate is wealth. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Very much so.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes. So God promised them land. Then verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you on this long journey through the desert these past 40 years, sending hardships to test you so that he might know what you intended to do and whether you would obey his commands. He made you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, food that you and your ancestors had never eaten before. He did this to teach you that you must not depend on bread alone to sustain you, but on everything that the Lord says. During these 40 years, that's a key point. I want to add this to that point, because it says, during these 40 years, your clothes have not worn out, nor have your feet swollen. So going back to that, okay, that key point, you brought it out. You know, you want to expound on that before I start? Go ahead.
When you were reading, when he said he did this, this is back in verse 3, he did this to teach you that you must not depend on bread alone to sustain you, but on everything that the Lord said. And that's a key piece to understand about pursuing or attaining wealth. Because he said that you won't depend on this bread. two, but the thing that will sustain the people will be on what God said, mm-hmm. not on what you had. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the key piece. Because if you can actually keep that balance in order, not on what you have, but what does he say? Mm-hmm. Because, and that, I think, that sets the tone of terms of attaining wealth, but how you keep that proper balance. But you said you're about to say something, a key point as well about this. What were you about to call out here?
Yeah, this is the same thing, you know, just discussing the fact that when God gives us wealth, and sometimes they call money bread, you know, on the street, you know, they call it bread. So he says you can't depend on that bread to sustain you, but on everything that the Lord says. In other words, when we get that bread, when we get that wealth, when we get that paycheck, you know, when that money comes, when the land, the house comes, you know, God will lead and guide us and give us wisdom. Many times people do not equate wealth with even being a Christian. And in church, sometimes we come to church, we worship, we pray, we spit, we holler. You know, I'm just using that metaphorically. You know, we have a good time. We have church. But when it comes to the money, many people say, well, I don't like that church because they're talking about money. But God has a lot to say about it.
A lot to say about money.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And he will lead and guide us on the sustenance, how to sustain the wealth that we have is what we need to search God in and not necessarily the world system. Because you see, a lot of things fall apart. You know, jobs, we lose our jobs, a 401k. All of that, you know, sometimes is depleted. When that recession hit and the interest rate went, you know, low.
Yes, absolutely.
Many of our 401ks took a dive.
Right. And a lot of people who were depending on that as the thing that would sustain them, that could destroy people's lives. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only hope you have then. Mm-hmm. Is that this egg ice was creating, and now it's not worth half of what it was before. What am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. But this key verse here said, well, you should not be depending on that alone to save you in the first place.
Exactly. You know?
But because he is our Lord, it's oftentimes people have a Lord problem. Mm-hmm. Once you have made the Lord, not just understanding this thing that I've actually am pursuing, but I actually have a Lord. Mm-hmm. So the Lord can give more things to me as a steward, but he's still the Lord. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that, you now can even be trusted with more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is what, you know, he that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in that which is much. Mm-hmm. And the Lord increased them more. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but that's really good.
Yes. And you know, these next few verses should really encourage someone out there, because he says, during these 40 years, your clothes have not worn out, nor have your feet swollen up. Now he's saying, no, it was not the bread that I gave you that sustained you. It was me that sustained you.
Absolutely.
You know, you were in the desert. You know, things got dried up. You might have lost your job. You know, you ended up in a place where you didn't know where your sustenance would come from. But he said, I made sure your clothes did not wear out, your feet didn't swell. Yes, supernaturally. Absolutely. And then verse 5, he says, remember that the Lord your God corrects and punishes you just as parents discipline their children. In other words, although we may have made mistakes, many people have made bad money decisions. All of us have at some point, you know.
Absolutely.
But we know that it's been God that has sustained us. So verse 6, he says, so then do as the Lord commanded you. Live according to his laws and obey him. The Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land. Now, this is so key. He's bringing you into a fertile land, a land that has rivers and springs and underground streams gushing. If I was in church, I would say somebody say gushing. Gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land that produces wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. So in other words, this where God was taking them, he delivered them from slavery to take them to a place of wealth and prosperity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where the land would produce, you know, what they needed. You know, when God gives us jobs or he leads us to a place, this is where even he says, let's go back up verse 3, man must not depend on bread alone to sustain it, but everything that the Lord says. So the Lord told them to go to this land.
Right. So it couldn't be a bad thing if mm-hmm. he was bringing them into it.
Exactly. And he knew. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he was actually giving them the criteria on which to be sustained in this land.
Yes.
It's like, hey, I'm about to bring you into a place of abundance, mm-hmm. but there's some governance in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to be handled without description.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're about to have abundance of things,
mm-hmm.
but there is a governance on how you maintain this and can increase it for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the laws are so important. That's why having him at the helm of the ship was so important. Like, hey, make sure that you do everything I command
mm-hmm.
and obey me for this to continue and for you to continue to dwell in this land mm-hmm. of abundance. There's going to be some governance that's required.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Because verse 9 and 10, as we move further, says there you will never go hungry or ever be in need. Its never rocks have iron mm-hmm. in them. And from its hills, you can mine copper. Now
wow.
this is something key right here, because we're reading a Good News translation, but it says you can mine copper. The rocks have iron in them, and from its hills, you can mine copper. In other words, this wealth, even if you back up into 7:8, the land was fertile. It produced the wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, honey, all of that. You'll never go
right.
hungry, be in need. The rocks have iron in them from its hills. You can mine copper. In other words, they still have to work for it. God was giving it to them, but you still have to work for it. And not only that, God, you know, if we go back even further into after they left Egypt, God said, I'm taking you to a land, but you're still going to have to go and possess it. You
right.
think it's just... It's there. It's on the other side of the Jordan. You're going to have to cross the Jordan. Okay.
Right.
Hello, children of Israel. Hello, people. You know, the wealth is there.
That's good. That's really good.
It's sitting right up here.
Iron in them.
Yes.
And you got to mine this copper.
Yeah.
That is a good point.
You got to mine it.
Point.
Exactly. You know, so many times, even in church, let's go back, you know, let's bring out this point. That we can sit and fast and pray and fast and pray. You know, God's going to bless me. Click, click, click my heels. In 23 days, you're going to get a check. You know, sometimes
right.
we have to understand, yes, God has laid up some wealth for us. But we still have to work. We have to possess it.
Still have to go.
Yes.
And for me, that is the wisdom of God to show you whether you will manifest something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I put it in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you it's there, but you gotta go. You gotta go possess it. You gotta go and work for it.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to craft this thing. You're gonna have to develop this thing. You're gonna have to mine for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're lazy,
mm-hmm.
then it's a way to weed. Like it will automatically cap off
mm-hmm.
what's yours by possession, but maybe not yours in terms of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
It was they're there. But you'll never manifest what you rightly possess because you're in this land. But because you won't mine the copper
mm-hmm.
or you won't extract the iron from the rock, then you will never live in everything that was provided for you
mm-hmm.
because you won't actually do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. But to me, that's the wisdom of God to say, hey, if you're going to be lazy and you don't want to do the work, then you are holding yourself back. It was never me. Because
mm-hmm.
he brought them into the fertile land.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, it's here, it's for you, all of this is yours. But the wisdom of showing you whether you're going to really manifest it and whether you will actually manifest this promise is that you're going to have to do the work to actually hold it in your hand.
Yes.
But it's all yours.
Yes.
So if you don't do it, you will live your entire life not actually manifesting everything that was rightly yours.
Exactly.
And that's a sad thing.
Yes. Yes.
Very sad situation.
And you know, just like you, I want to use your term, debunk a myth. Let's debunk something, you know, this thought that sometimes people say, well, okay, it's copper on the other side of that rock. And they'll see that this big mountain and then think, oh, that's not God. Because God said he's going to give me copper. You know.
Right. I got it.
Yes. God said he's going to give it to me.
So somebody else is going to mine this thing.
Exactly.
But that's so interesting, though. But you're going to see that person that does mine it, that starts the business, and you will see their lives
exactly
increase because they... That's such a good point.
Yes.
Really
yes. And you know something else? It's like, okay, we may not even have the tools to mine it, but you've got to figure it out.
Right.
You've got to find the tools in order to possess that wealth. You know, it's just like, and I know we're going to talk a little more about it, but I think this just fits right here. You know, just like building your savings account, you know, building portfolios. Many people don't have knowledge of this, but we have to figure it out. We need to read, ask some questions, go to some workshops, sit up in the banker's face. You know, I mean, we have to figure out how to possess this instead of sitting up in the house, twiddling our fingers, waiting on wealth to come.
Right.
You know,
totally agree.
Yes. Yeah. We can say, what's that? Wealth cometh to me. Wealth cometh to me. Wealth cometh to me, you know.
Right, I got you.
Yes.
I got you. See, that's the thing about you actually, the sad case of you actually having something that is yours by inheritance, but not, you will never possess it because you won't do the work to manifest it. And that's like, wow, why would you live your entire life not actually living in the promise simply because you won't do the work because you put too much expectation on what God said he would do versus what he commanded out of you.
Absolutely.
It's like, man, you know, let's not get God's responsibility confused with what's really ours. It's like, you want me to give you the copper and mine the copper, create the, you know, like, no, there's some part on yours. Because I gave man dominion over the earth. This was yours. Inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
So if I said have dominion over the fish of the sea, the everything on this planet, then that means that there's some responsibility that it falls in my life.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think oftentimes people get that confused. We want God to do more than what he actually said he would do.
You know, that's a very good point. Yes. Very good point. Because when you look at verse 11, where did we stop? Verse 10, he says, you will have all you want to eat, and you will give thanks to the Lord your God for the fertile land that he has given you. Make certain that you do not forget the Lord your God and do not fail to obey any of his laws that I'm giving you today. When you have all you want to eat and have built good houses to live in, and when your cattle and sheep, your silver and gold, and all your possessions have increased, be sure that you do not become proud and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from Egypt where you were slaves. I think that's a good place to press pause and just look at that, because he says, when I bring you into that land, that fertile land, then don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget to put him first, you know, so and notice what he mentions. When you have built good houses, is it wrong to have a good house? You see,
he said good houses.
Exactly.
They didn't have to use that ad. They didn't have to put that adjective.
Exactly.
Because when you build a house, they literally could have just said a good house. You know.
Yes.
But why a good house? So
exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly. And then when you have cattle and sheep. That's wealth in the ancient world.
That was very much wealth. Absolutely.
Yes.
And the agrarian economy, the actual crop and the animals.
Yes.
That sheepfold, the cattle, the donkeys. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
All of that.
And then he says, on top of that, silver and gold.
And gold.
And all your other possessions have other increased. Possessions. Increased.
There was other things you would. That's interesting. There'll be other things.
Yes.
What's these other things that they had even back in their day?
Exactly.
That was outside of the animal. That was outside of a nice house. Outside of gold and silver. There were other things.
Yes. But the thing he says, be sure that you don't become proud and puffed up. Don't forget where it came from. And don't forget where you came from. You came out of Egypt. And see, the thing is, too, we have to teach this to our generations because many of our children think that they, you know, okay, they have forgotten where their parents came from. Mm. Because if their parents remained in a certain state, they would still be there. Because we don't look at ourselves in generate. We don't look at ourselves as posterity, you know, as legacy, as keepers that we don't look at succession, you know, many times.
Yes, sir.
And so it says, verse 15, he led you through the vast and terrifying desert where there were poisonous snakes and scorpions. In that dry and waterless land, he made water flow out of solid rock for you. In the desert, he gave you manna to eat, food that your ancestors have never eaten. He sent hardships on you to test you so that in the end he could bless you with good things. Yes, with good things. So then you must never think that you have made yourselves wealthy by your own power and strength. Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power. This version says the power to become rich. Other versions, the power to get wealth.
To get wealth, yes.
But this is key. He does this because he is still faithful today to the covenant that he made with your ancestors. So, in other words, he promised all of these riches. He promised this land. They needed land to dwell. People have to live. I mean, God didn't put us on this earth to starve us out. So we need a way to make wealth. But the fact of the matter is, he set this nation aside to be a light to other nations. They were supposed to carry his covenant, carry his word. They were supposed to glorify his name and be imitators and reflect the glory of God among the world. So there is a covenant there. When it comes to us, this is the Christian view. Now, when it comes to us and the wealth that God gives us, there's still an expectation placed on that. There's a responsibility. We have a responsibility to manage and to be good stewards over that which God blesses us with. And so that's really too what we're talking about today, because even in the book of Joshua, where they went into the promised land, you know, Joshua led them battle after battle. You know, one of the most famous battles was the Battle of Jericho that we know, where they marched around the walls 7 times, but they had to go in and fight and possess that land. And they, once they possessed it, like they were supposed to kill their enemies, do away with all this that would threaten what God had given them. And so that's where we want to move also into your wealth of knowledge, what you want to share with us. You know, once God blesses us, or first of all, we have to believe that we can be blessed, that we are eligible for these blessings.
Yeah.
And then we have to understand that there is a responsibility that goes with it, and we have to be able to sustain that which God gives us.
I think when you, just like in verse 17, back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it says, so then you must never think that you have made yourself wealthy by your own power and strength. We said that you may never think this. If you never think that you made it yourself, that this was brought by yourself, it always will keep you in the proper posture understanding this came from God.
Mm-hmm.
He empowered. He said, not by your own power and strength. So that's, I think that's just really so key for people to realize this is not a bad thing at all. This mm-hmm. is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
God set people, he set them up for this.
Yes.
Because he said, this wasn't even your power. This wasn't your strength. This is actually divine,
mm-hmm.
enabling them to actually walk in this.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, the key thing was not what they were be receiving. It was the mentality they were supposed to always maintain when they had it. Because
mm-hmm.
he said, never think this way.
Mm-hmm.
Never think this way. So, because it said, because then you before it said, don't give be prideful. Because then after you have, you do not become proud and forget the Lord.
Yes.
Who rescued you. It's like always keeping yourself in check. Never mm-hmm. think this way, man. This thing came from him.
Mm-hmm.
To remember, he gave the power for you to become wealthy, but it's not for the purpose of thinking that that was the main focus.
Right.
It was actually the person who gave it to you is the focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you wouldn't definitely want to cut off where the source was, because you were so happy with what was you received, you forgot the source.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that if that's the case, then your source, which your acquired source, can start running low.
That's right.
Because now you don't know where the source is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you thought maybe it came from you, or maybe it was, you know, that's why he doesn't want us to go after, pursue these things outside of his direction, mm-hmm. outside of his guidance. You know, he said, it's like in Matthew chapter 6, talking about all these things the Gentiles seek, or the people who are not saved, who are not in the kingdom, who doesn't think God's way, they're seeking all that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't even do that. Seek the kingdom of God
mm-hmm.
and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, first, there's still work for you to do. You still have to go out and do these things. But what's going to flip and definitely make the world marvel is because you will get it a different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You won't have to step on a person and suppress somebody else in order for you to walk in that.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you can freely distribute and empower other people. So that will make the world marvel to say, well, they didn't have to do it that way. That's not how they actually got there.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, that's being the light, as you were saying earlier. You're being the light because now they are a kingdom of priests.
Yes, yes.
They are a royal priesthood. Like they are enjoying these good things,
mm-hmm.
but they're not operating like you would think people who are proud of their own achievements and, you know, and what they have done and what they have acquired. They're not operating like that. They're actually serving each other. They're
mm-hmm.
actually ministering to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And because you know what it's within, I think 2 Timothy talks about being those who are rich, that for them to be freely be able to distribute, right?
Yes.
To freely be able to share.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart has to, you have to have God in your heart for you to freely share.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you have been empowered to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the light you were saying, how in this aspect, it will be, you could actually obtain something, but it will not have you.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the light to the world.
Mm-hmm. And you know something that that you said, and just going back to that scripture that in verse 18, remember that it is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth.
Yes.
So, like in this day and time, you know, we have our education, we have our degrees, you know, we're both in school at this particular point, but
yes.
we have business practices, best practices, a lot of ways and training on how to maintain and manage wealth and material things. But
yes.
God is saying here that really that comes from me, you
yes.
know, because many Absolutely. Times that's why once he gives that, gave that land to them, do you think he would give them that land and not give them the wisdom on how to maintain it,
Very good.
How to multiply it? Because, you know, that same land, you have to plant crops. you eat the crops, but you have to replant other crops.
Right.
You know? And absolutely. So God gives us, let's debunk another, I like that word, you know, I've heard it before, of course, but I like it in this session. Let's debunk the myth that Christian people don't understand business. That's not necessarily true, because God gives us the wisdom on how to do business.
Absolutely.
And as I feel like as a church, our business practices should be higher. The standard should be higher than the world.
Than the world.
You know,
I agree.
We don't come into church and just sling anything on paper, do anything. You know, we are a church. We are, like you said, the priests. We're the chosen of God. Our standard should be higher. Everything should be done in excellence. You know, we understand, and we should understand how to multiply wealth. We're not poor.
Right. It was never intended for us to be that way.
Exactly.
Because he would not say these things that I'm going to bring you into it if it wasn't the Father's heart.
Exactly.
Because I know no father or parent that gives them their child something willingly and say, I never really wanted you to have it, but I'm going to give it to you freely.
Exactly.
You know, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like, but the whole purpose was you make sure that you have me first.
Yes.
Keep the whole priority of the matter that this came from me.
Yes.
I just don't want you to take your focus off what is really the main ingredient to sustain your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just this wealth and these good things, because the interesting thing about it, as you call out in this particular version, with other things, other possessions, there are going to be other things that you're going to be, you know, acquire.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get caught up in any of it. Just keep your focus on the one that was the source.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can keep that proper alignment, then there's nothing that God wouldn't allow you to have, because you really don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really His that you're being a steward over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you got it,
That's right. You know, just like that third chapter, third John, as he said, yes, I pray that you prosper as your soul prospers, you know, which means there needs to be a healthy mindset, healthy emotions, healthy way of thinking, a healthy attitude, understanding that prosperity and wealth, putting it in the right perspective, will cause us to prosper. You know, you know, just like you and I were talking about sometime, you know, when people get that fast money, they end up in a worse state because they don't know what to do with it. They went like the prodigal son, you know, he wanted this.
Yeah.
Okay, give me my inheritance. So his father gave it to him. So he goes out and spend it all on prodigal living, you know, all out, let's say, in the clubs, buying cars, you bought a house, you know you don't have a job.
Just living it up. No way to reproduce it.
Exactly.
But that showed, like, we know that showed his immaturity, because you didn't realize that this is a depleting fund.
Yes, exactly.
But it's like you eating all your seeds. Well, you know that you plan on living next year, right?
Exactly.
You plan on eating next. You want to have a new harvest, you know, so you don't eat all your seeds. You got to plant some of this stuff, you know. But that just shows you that the focus is not on the continuity. It's not. That's when we know the enemy. The enemy makes people think so present moment.
Yes.
But for me to do anything lasting, I have to be thinking generations beyond me. So there has to be a plan in place to sustain that. But God gave the children of Israel that plan from the beginning, saying, hey, I'm going to give you all these things, but just understand that I'm the source of it all, and the way to keep this thing going, to continue to dwell in this land, you got to stick with me. You can't get caught up and lose sight of the source, because now it's going to drive them. You're going to find out that you didn't do this on your own. But it's interesting that we can get that way, though. You know, like you said, that God gave us the wisdom, the mindset, the ability, even academically, to learn how to start a business or to to even at their day to plant these crops and create this system where they can be an agrarian culture and run their whole economic system off of, I got corn, you got grain, you do, you know, whatever, we can trade, all these things. God gave them the ability, the mentality, the capacity to do all of that. But long as we knew that that ability came from him. It was not my own doing. And that's a check that I think that oftentimes people, what begins the regression is that we begin to lose sight of who empowered us. My power, if it was my, what I did was my creativity, if it was my, you know, I worked so hard. Well, God gave me the strength. He woke me up. You know, this is his air we're breathing, you know? So it's like, this is his, you know, all of this is his for me to actually be able to go out and have the strength to earn or to create. But losing sight of that, that's the regression. That starts the whole end of it all.
Well, you know, I want to bring in a few other points, and that is concerning how to sustain it and grow it and multiply it. So I want to start off with this particular point, and then I want you to expound past that when it comes to sustaining and multiplying. But one of the first things that we need to do is honor God first with what he gives us. And Malachi, the third chapter, tells us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Yeah. Open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground. Nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, this says the Lord of hosts. So in other words, when he says in Deuteronomy, remember that the Lord your God, he's the one that gives you the power to get wealth. Now, and it's all of this is based on the covenant that he made with us. So now he establishes a place, a church house or ministry in order to continue to glorify his name in the earth. So now he needs them to plant seeds into this to continue to make sure the world knows who the Lord is. So he says, when we put God first, then he will guard what that is that we have. Okay. You bring it into the storehouse, which means it's stored in that, bringing it to the storehouse so it can be used for God's house. But there are other ways. That's the first thing that we should do is honor God. But I want you to talk a little more too about how do you sustain that wealth? You know, you deal with finances. God has given us the power to get wealth, but he's given us also the power. If he gives us the power to get it, he gives us the power to keep it.
Yes, definitely, ma'am. This key here, as we know, and sadly in the body of Christ, oftentimes we don't do well in this area because we, even if people have come to the peace and their obedience point of tithing and sowing, they don't understand the empowerment that God gives us, even in terms of being entrepreneurial. And that's a key point because it says to pour you out blessing, right? Well, blessing is an empowerment. It's not saying that, oh, I'm going to give $100 seed, so now I'm just going to get, just believe God for more riches because somebody else is going to give me that. God can use people to give me. We know that. But God can empower me through ideas. To start, you know, some business venture. Because he gave everybody gifts and talents. But oftentimes what we don't look at what we have as something that is, that what God gave us, that ability to be able to create that wealth. It's like we missed that connection, you know, and from the standpoint of business and, you know, being empowered as entrepreneurs, you know, there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26 that I love. And for those who are listening, I'm going to read this from the Amplified. There's other versions. Of course, you'll get the point. But I like this amplified version of it, and I think this will kind of give a little bit more insight of what we're saying about for believers, even moving into entrepreneurship. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26, it reads, the amplified version says, the people curse him who holds back grain when the public needs it. When the public needs it, they actually need this thing.
Yes.
But it says, but a blessing from God and man is upon the head of him who sells it. It says the person that held back the grain, when the public needs it, the people, you know, they curse him like, well, you know, but the blessing from God and man is upon the person, not even who gives it away. It says the person who sells it. Because God knew that the way for our system to function, we will be able to actually have this kind of system in place to where I can produce something and somebody can buy it. But if we hold back what we have, and the interesting thing about it, the amplifier, it says when the public needs it.
When the public needs it.
When the people, they need it. The people need what you have. Now, you may look at it and say, oh, I can cook a little bit, or that ain't no big deal. But there are people who have come out with their own barbecue stuff, you know, or they've started a cupcake business, or they started a catering business, or they're good designers, and they can actually, they're good with the creativity in terms of web design. There's many ways for you to actually produce something that the public needs.
And that's the key right there. If I can just interject for a moment, I know my kids are really into business ventures.
Yes.
And one of the things that I've said to them, although, you know, I spent most of my career as a teacher and now, you know, in the ministry, but there are other things that I've done with my gifts. But the key that you said there is when it comes to being an entrepreneur, starting business, et cetera, is to do something that people need.
Yes.
If your goal, if your goal is just to become rich, that's why sometimes businesses fail, because their point is, in their mind, they're driven by making money. But that should not drive you when it comes to being an entrepreneur. I know for some people out there, they may not, you know, agree with this thinking, but what's really going to sustain you is if you operate out of your gift, your purpose, and what people need.
They need it. Wow. That's good.
Yes.
Very good call out.
Yes, yes.
Very good call. That this scripture here was such a blessing to me. To say, man, when the public needs it, they need what you have. Oh, little old me, what I can do. Yeah. Yes, they need it.
Yes.
They can. What do they need? What they cannot readily do for themselves. Whether it's a lack of time, or whether it's a lack of ability, because there's some things that I can't do. Maybe I can do on my own, but my time won't permit. Or I can't do it at all. It's just not what something I was great to do. So I need it. And guess what? I will pay you for it.
That's right.
I'll pay you for your service. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, well, that means that everybody can be empowered to do well. Everybody can be empowered to succeed. And it can bring and build wealth, generate wealth for your family. But as you said, the thing is actually delivering something that the public needs. And this verse frees you and says, the blessing is on the head of him, from God and man, if you sell it. Sell what they need. Give the people what they need. They need this. The interesting thing about when it said need, it didn't say wanted, because we know the difference between needs and wants. It's saying that you are depriving somebody of something, isn't that? So
that's right.
If I say, if you know that they need this, and you hoard it, and it says, this, in this case, the Bible said grain, but we can put anything in there, right?
That's right. That's right.
When you know that I'm hungry and I don't have time to cook because I was at work. But you actually can do that, though. Well, very well. And guess what? I'm not going to make you give it to me for free. I'll pay you for it. Or I can pay you for, if you design things, I can pay you for that design. I can pay you for designing or coming in and fixing something in my home. because I couldn't fix that, or I couldn't build that deck, or I couldn't, you know what I mean? I need it, though. This is something I need. And I just think that's such a blessing. This scripture, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26, I mean, you can read it in different versions. All of them will definitely make the light bulb come on.
Yeah, you know, and just to add to that scripture, too, just something just came to my mind as I was listening to you. The fact that many people have ideas. You mentioned that sometimes they have an idea, they have a vision for a business, you know, and sometimes people wonder, will it fly? You know, how well will it do? But the fact is, God knows what the people need. So he's giving it to you. If God gave you that vision, if he gave you that idea, God already knows on the other end that somebody needs what you have. He knows what they need, and he knows what he gave you. So if you are faithful with your gift, what is the, your gift will make a way for
make
you?
Room. It'll make room for you.
Yeah.
It bring you for the presence of great men.
Of great men. Because people need, and sometimes we're intimidated by great people. But great, you know, they're great in our sight. You know, they may have.
Because we created that celebrity.
Exactly.
God created everybody in his image and likeness. Mm-hmm. So you have the same ability. It's just because certain people will choose to pursue.
Yes.
And to develop and to grow when others choose not to, we create this great gulf that makes us look at others as if there's something that I could not be.
Yes. Yes.
But this blessing here, it's on everybody who will not hold back.
Yes. Yes.
What the people need.
Yes. Yes, and I want to ask you to expound on something else, too. You know, the parable of the faithful steward, where a steward is given something by his master, actually.
Yeah.
And,
I think Matthew chapter 25, right?
Yes, yes. And here it reads, I'm looking at the version in Luke, the 12th chapter, but you know, it's Matthew 24 as well.
Okay.
So it says... And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? So here, just the point is that the master gives something to the steward, his house, to his household to watch over. And of course, by the time you go through this scripture at the end, verse 48, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required.
Yes.
And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. So in other words, just, you know, looking at that scripture, when God blesses you, to whom much is given, much is required.
Much is required. Absolutely.
But God is also looking to us to be a wise and faithful steward over that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So tell us some ways we can be a good steward.
Well, I think, you know, being a good steward, first, of course, as we said, we led off with in terms of actually honoring the Lord with, in terms of our gifts, in terms of our wealth that we acquire through his ability. Mm-hmm. We believe in tithe, we believe in sowing. But then also in terms of how we share.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, as 2 Timothy talks about, those who have become wealthy, that they will be freely able to share of what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all of this belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand that this is not mine, it's mine to steward over, not mine to own.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving this to me because I came with nothing, and I will leave here with only with that which I've sown toward heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, this is the steward's place for us to only to rightly do what the master has given over to my supervision.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a stewardship in terms of what we do for the kingdom. And how that manifests out also in the world to others.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's also part of the light. When we're able to actually show that kind of kindness to the world.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to actually be a blessing to other people, mm-hmm. to empower other people.
Mm-hmm.
To you think about the rich young ruler, and when he came to the Lord, he was like, you know, I'm good. I've done these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, there's one thing you lack, though. Go, sell all this, give that, and come follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, he said he couldn't do that because he had great possessions.
Mm-hmm.
He had them. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
He had
mm-hmm.
them. They were, if you understand that Jesus has told you to sow, so obviously you've sown to your heavenly account.
Mm-hmm.
That has not left your life.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has told you to actually deliver of what he's given to something else and come follow me.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't because he had something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we get the imbalance of what it means to not be a good steward.
Mm-hmm.
Because as he has freely, it says what? Freely we have received, freely give.
Yes.
And if we can then balance that, that also means also this way, because oftentimes this happens and we can kind of bring this up. I want to see what you think about this. That's also how we also handle our, handle other things in terms of financial matters.
Mm-hmm.
That means that I should work on, you know, what my credit looks like. Or making sure that I pay my bills on time, and because all that stuff represents the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
how we treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just ask to get into some kind of a thing that you said that you would actually pay for, and then not follow through. Right? That's
mm-hmm.
not being the integrity, using the integrity that we're supposed to be using.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is being a good steward.
Yes.
How you treat the Father, how you treat your fellow man,
mm-hmm.
that's the good stewardship. But
mm-hmm.
I believe all of it, long as it's in the Lord's command, long as he's able to be able to have you hear him say what he wants to do with his good.
Mm-hmm.
And in that scripture, in Matthew chapter 25 about the talents, when he gave them the five, the two, and the one.
Yes.
The interesting thing about that was that the guy that actually hid his, he said, I knew you was a hard man, reaping what you have not sown.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point, though. Why would you say, I gave you this talent, you said I didn't give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Reaping what I have not sown?
Mm-hmm.
So I went and hid what was yours. And there you have that which is yours.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I didn't actually, if I didn't sow anything, how could God ask for something?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole piece, the Lord really called out what that really was. He said, you wicked and lazy servant.
Mm-hmm.
You are wicked and lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
That I've given. And that's not being a good steward.
Mm-hmm.
Not withholding. Not hoarding. Not being able to freely distribute as he's given.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that all of this does not belong to me. He is now giving me the ability to have more. But as you said, too much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
So it also challenges me to step it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
That I may have to learn how to balance my money, how to actually budget it right,
mm-hmm.
how to make sure you make good on the promises there that you have committed yourself financially.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do this to where it still lets Jesus be glorified?
Mm-hmm.
All of those, I think God is concerned about all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of sums up what stewardship looks like in terms of how we impact the kingdom, how we actually are light in this world,
mm-hmm.
to see how we actually are able to flow and show that there's a difference in how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get from that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think several key points that you made, giving back, giving to the poor, giving to those who have less, sowing seeds into blessing others. You know, one of the things about that parable, the one that had five, used them. Another, that the one that had two, used theirs. And
yeah.
they increased. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the one that took his, you know, this particular scripture, verse 25 says, "And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours." And he was afraid. He was afraid. What are you afraid of? He was afraid to use, you know, many times people hoard, people put things aside. They're afraid they're going to lose it. Or, you know, instead of using it and multiplying it, you know, even when it comes to the investment and when it comes to, now we should save, but there's a difference in saving and hoarding. There's a difference in saving and being stingy, you know, hiding what we have, putting it aside and not using it, not understanding that money is to be used. It's not for us to worship. You know, there's a reason. There's a kingdom currency on this dime. You know what I'm saying? Man looks at it one way, but God has blessed us with it for kingdom purposes, and that's where the wisdom of God comes in, and really seeking Him and not being afraid, and just even touching those people who may have gone without, who say, well, you know, I had to scratch and save to get this. You know, we just want to encourage them and even bind up that spirit of fear.
And that is the real thing that actually caused this man to miss out on what God really wanted him to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw the reward that he was giving for the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the intent for this gentleman as well.
Mm-hmm.
But fear kept him from actually being rewarded for his efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so crazy when the Lord is giving us something and we allow fear to choke that out of us, choke the life out of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we can't now take what we've been given and make something greater or give it back to Him greater than it was when we received it.
Yes.
And that is, because I think that's the ultimate piece, because they said, "Hey, Lord, look, you gave me five. Look, I have gained another five. I have gained more than what you've given me. I'm going to give it back better than what you've given."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is so key for anyone in terms of increase. But they said, "I gave it back to him who gave to me."
Mm-hmm.
"I gave it back to you. You give it to me." But even in terms of how we think about in the natural realm in terms of finances, or the saving, budgeting, investing, as you were saying earlier about, as a currency, it's meant to flow, it's meant to be moving toward other things. But all of these pieces are so important so that we can actually be empowered whenever the Lord calls on us.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be putting away. You shouldn't. Your money shouldn't just be where you don't have anything left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you make sure that you are putting away a percentage. Of course, you make sure you're tithing and sowing.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these things are so important to actually even be in a place to where you can build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for a purpose, not just for you to hoard, not just for you to say, mm-hmm. look what I have, or you to be consumed with it to the point that you don't realize that the Lord has need of that.
Mm-hmm.
And He may call on that at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to be able to show Him in the earth realm. And I think when you actually able to bless on someone else, when it says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive,
mm-hmm.
when you're able to bless someone's life, when there's no kind of expectation on their end, when you're able to do that,
yes,
that's an incredible feeling,
yes.
To be able to just be able to bless freely. But I think that really is the Father's heart to say, "I just want to give to you.
Yes.
I just don't want you to lose sight of me."
Yes.
You know, it's like, just don't lose sight of me. You can have it all. As you were starting with Deuteronomy chapter 8, about the good houses and the good things,
mm-hmm.
and all the abundance of the land. Obviously, God is okay with all these things. Why would you give me everything that you don't want me to have? You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
But it wasn't the thing. Because any parent, he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know how to be a blessing. And you can have evil in your heart and still know how to bless. How much more that you think, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. but yes. really understanding who still is king.
Yes.
And
yes.
if we're king of, if he's king of kings, then I know I'm not the man.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when, even when we think about, I just thought about kings, and when they're casting their crowns down at his feet, they're wearing crowns.
Mm-hmm.
But they're casting them down. There's a check that says, no, he's holy. I throw my crown down. But they're throwing crowns down, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not throwing, you know, just hats down. They're throwing crowns down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's speaking to the nature of this abundant nature that God has, that they, everyone to do well.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to make sure we stay, keep our alignment with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, then the floodgates open for us.
And you made a point, you know, before we start to move to a close in just a moment, and we just thank God for our listeners, you know, and I know that whoever's listening is really being blessed today. But, you know, even looking at this, back at this parable, you just made a statement about building wealth, that the point building wealth is what we, I guess, need to see or understand, because it takes time to build something. It takes a plan. It takes, like, who is going to build I need to find that scripture, but you know where Jesus says that, who builds a building and doesn't count the cost?
Count the cost, yes, I know what you mean.
You know, yes. And so, in other words, if we want to do well financially, we need to start planning for that building. Just like here in this parable, he says, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. But verse 27 says, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And
that
at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest.
Yes, absolutely. That would have been a plan.
That would have been a plan.
That was a plan. That would have been a plan. So, good point. That would have been a plan.
Yes, a plan. You know, sometimes, like, if you spend, if you don't budget, if you don't make a budget, if you don't decide, I'm going to put away a certain amount, I'm going to purchase a CD or put money in a wealth building account or something like that, if you don't start planning those things, then more than likely it's really not going to happen. And so that's why I like now this generation, our generation, my children, grandchildren have a little more knowledge than what we had. And so encouraging this generation to start early, you know, being good stewards and a plan, and not just individually, but organizations, you know, churches, whatever your organization is, really having a good financial plan and not just paying bills.
Yes.
You know, many people live and work just to pay bills or just to go to the movies, go to the dinner, whatever. But it takes time to build wealth. And to understand, we're talking about understanding money and understanding wealth. You know, just like Jesus had to teach them, he allowed them to go hungry.
Mm.
So that when I do bless you, you will be thankful. I'm going to let you starve a little bit, go without. Okay, Minister Marquez, we've had an awesome time. This has been wonderful, and I believe that our listening audience has been blessed by what we've shared and what you've shared today. But these five tips, we want to leave with them, five wisdom nuggets. First of all, stop letting obsessive worry about material needs overwhelm you. This just demonstrates a lack of trust, you know. So, you know, instead of worrying about it, pray about it. You know, go to the scripture. Just remind ourselves that God really is our provider. Jehovah Jireh really is our provider. So number two, grow our trust in God's provision. That's how we grow in that church, that trust. That is really the key to worry.
Yeah.
Growing in our trust and faith in God. Reminding ourselves that God, as I said, is our provider, But trusting in God frees us to pursue God's kingdom as a number one priority. That's where seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. I'm a living witness that when I start praying, I've been in several dilemmas, okay? And can I get a witness?
Absolutely. And, like what?
Yes. And when I start praying and talking to God about it, he'll tell you where to pull from here, move this, I got this, don't worry about that. I mean, he will just give you a strategy on how to make it through. And number three, be thankful to God for past provisions of material needs. God already knows and cares about our material needs. He knows everything that we have need of.
Absolutely.
So just giving him praise, giving him honor. What's that scripture? Be anxious for nothing, but by everything through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Yes, and the peace that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts, guard your hearts through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians the 4th chapter 6 through the 7th verse. And then number 4, manage wisely the finances God entrusts to our care. In other words, we need to have a financial care plan.
Yes.
With an eye on the future. You know, don't just live for today.
Yes.
You know, establish a budget and establish a plan to build your wealth, to build your financial portfolio. Establish a plan. And if you fall off, you know, some fall off the wagon, as they say, just get back up. You know,
don't
give up.
Don't be afraid to reach out to other resources that if you don't know about a certain investment strategy or building your 401k or your IRA or whatever your investment strategy is, if you don't know a key point, then reach out to get those resources and educate yourself in this regard. Don't just allow it to be neglected because we don't know enough. Definitely reach out for those resources. There's many available on the website, on websites where they're available for free. Information is everywhere now. It's right at our disposal, just by a click of a mouse. So I definitely take advantage of that.
And I think that's a good point, because many people think they can't afford a financial planner, or sometimes people think they need a lot of money to have a planner. But actually, most banks, almost every bank has a financial planner. You can just go in there, wherever you bank, ask about their planner. Just go in there and sit down with them, and they really will guide you, you know.
Yeah.
And so you're absolutely right. There's so much available to us these days. And then, manage your finances. And then lastly, give generously to the needy from your material resources that are really on loan from God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people say, well, I can barely pay my own rent. I don't have anything to give. Oh, yes, we have something to give. Everybody has something to give. Time, talent, and your treasure, our substance.
Yeah.
You know, we can give time. We can give a little something. And just as you so eloquently spoke of just a minute ago, it feels so good to be able to give to others.
It does. It really does.
Yes.
To be a blessing. And I think people realize what they are missing out on because they won't stretch their capacity to be able to have more to do that. It's like God wants to make you a person who can generously give this liberally, to be a distribution center in certain cases, to be able to really give what you have that's really not really yours.
Yes.
But there is such a blessing. What is the he that waters will also be watered himself?
Yes.
You know, it's like, but not just in terms of just a financial, it's something that how that makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something to say, oh, I bless them or I help them. No, it's a feeling of, you know, it's a different type of fulfillment.
Yes.
That you can actually bless somebody. So when you read that scripture, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Because when you are able to do that, with no strings attached, be able to empower their life, mm-hmm. to help, you know, especially help advance the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to say, you know, somebody's trying to go on a mission trip, or somebody's actually trying to, there's something needed to be taken care of in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Then we should be able to take up the things that God has given us and make that happen. No problem. And how good it will feel for all of us to be able to rise up and say, it's done.
Yes.
The need was there, but it's done.
Yes.
But it's not, and it's not a burden. It's not, but God is challenging us to be better stewards over what we have daily. So we'll be in a better position to do that. So mm-hmm. we're not just seeing like we're skimming all the time, or we're barely making it.
Yes.
That God doesn't want us to live like that. We, you know, he gave us this, all this abundance, starting for the children of Israel, giving them all this examples and patterns. But we have a better covenant established upon better promises.
Yes.
You can't tell me that God would give them all of that and then think that we're supposed to have some, you know, lower derived state from that. Mm-hmm. No, it's supposed to be better.
Yes.
But,
yes.
And we, because we have the Holy Spirit, now we have a greater way to manage that, govern ourselves, to be able to have him at the helm of our lives in this regard.
Yes.
And I think the more the body of Christ is empowered in this, we can do so much more for him. And the world will marvel, because the way we function won't really make sense, because they haven't seen people be and have and be able to do and still have a generous and kind attitude.
Yes, yes.
To be still humble and submissive. And, you know, it would make people ask questions. Like, wow, they didn't say we needed to do this, or they didn't treat us this way. They blessed us and they were so humble with it. That would make people asking questions about, what made you do this?
Exactly.
And we can point up to God and say, "This is, we're lifting him up. It's not just by you going and saying hallelujah mm-hmm. and shouting Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's how we live our lives." Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's the people's body. And every, all of this is life.
Yes.
So this all of aspects of life.
Yes.
That's when we're city set on a hill. That's when we're, mm-hmm. we're the lamp. Mm-hmm. We can't be smothered out. Mm-hmm. We're showing a difference right in the community, right where we are, mm-hmm. saying there's something different about these people.
Yes.
And I see them actually, they're living well.
Yes.
But that's not, but they don't have a posture with it that actually make, they don't seem puffed up with it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem like they're actually like hoarding or greedy people. Mm-hmm. They blessed me, I didn't even ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So but wouldn't that give glory? It said that man may see your good works and glorify the Father.
That's right.
That they may see what we do.
Yes.
And say, man, I got to understand that God is causing the people to do this and act this way.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that is just so important.
Yes.
So important for believers to actually take what you've learned in these podcasts today.
Yes.
And listen to it over and over again. If you miss some pieces, just play it again. It's there for you to just continue just to digest this message, because God is calling you upward. Not just to heaven, but to live. He said, as it is in heaven, let it be on the earth.
Yes.
But we have to then want to go higher.
Yes.
Want to actually, you know, to step up to that.
Yes.
In that regard. But that's not something that's going to happen just because, you know, I'm just shouting.
Absolutely.
And I just praise God. That's going to be my intention.
Absolutely.
And the more people that as a body of Christ have empowered to function this way, I know that the world will take note and they will want to know the God that we serve. Because
absolutely.
That is definitely the alternative to the way they function.
Yes. Yes. Well, I have a scripture that I think will summarize what you just said, the point that we just brought out about giving and being a blessing and being a light to the world.
Yes.
And as we close, we'd like to leave this scripture with our listeners. 1 Timothy Chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 reads, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
That's perfect.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes. Amen and praise Amen. God. Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Marquez. Thank you to all of our listeners. Join us by going to www.thechristianview.org. Look up Marquez Hughley online. Just Google his name and I promise you, you will be blessed. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. God
Thank
bless.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Christian View podcast. I am so glad you joined us. Please share this podcast with your friends and family. We would love to hear your feedback. You can contact us on the web at www.thechristianview.org or the Christian View Facebook page or via Twitter and Instagram at pastor_ARJ. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless.